be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Need I say it again? The title of our message this morning is Something is About to Happen. Based on our gospel reading today from Mark 13, these verses where Jesus said, pay attention. Keep on the alert. For you do not know when the appointed time is. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. Ah, the pastor's favorite verse to keep people not to fall asleep during the sermon. Pay attention. Be alert. Here it comes. Something is about to happen. I invite you to follow the sermon outline you have in front of you as you pick up your handout. Again, as we consider our theme, something is about to happen. And well, I'll admit it this morning, I have a problem. I have a bad habit when watching movies. I can't keep my mouth shut. little secret there. Before the actors open their mouth, I speak their next lines. Before the camera pans on the upcoming scene, I describe where it's going to be. And worst of all, before the conclusion of the story, I in well advance say, well, this is how it's all going to end. It's a bad habit. And it happened to me not just once, but twice this past week when Beverly and I were watching movies at home. How that lady puts up with me, I don't know. Now, I'm not sure if this is an uncanny ability I have, or if it's just due to predictable movie scripts. Regardless, so often I seem to know what's about to happen and I can't keep it to myself. Well, that feeling that something is about to happen, has it ever happened to you? Something about to happen is about to happen is the theme of the Advent season in the Christian church. Something is about to happen is the theme of our gospel reading today from Mark chapter 13. One could say that the early church lived on tiptoes, anticipating. St. Mark tells us, take heed. Keep on the alert. You don't know when the appointed day of Christ's return will arise. Standing on tiptoes, eyes focused on the horizon, the words of the early Christian church were strained trying to express this hope. They said things like this in Scripture. The kingdom of God is at hand. The night is far gone. This present age is passing away. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Every word, every deed, every prayer in the early church seemed to be shaped by Jesus' second coming, by the day of judgment, by the end of the world. And we at times in our lives today live on tiptoes anticipating the future. We know, we all know the energy that an anticipated future can give to our life in the present. Consider all the presents, cards, decorations, programs, and let me tell you, all the sermons that have to be prepared as we get ready for the Christmas season. Consider an engaged couple and how excited and how living on their tiptoes they are waiting for the day of their wedding. Consider a young couple, expectant parents who are assembling their first crib and for the first time painting a room that's going to be their nursery with anticipation. But don't we also all know the sense of disappointment that comes when an anticipated or hoped for future comes and goes without any significance? Consider when Christmas comes and goes in your lives and things just didn't work out the way you expected them to. When wedding plans don't work out. When the hoped for baby never arrives. When things don't go as we anticipate, we ask the question, and rightfully so, is something about to happen? At times we wonder, is Jesus Christ ever coming back again? We ask, are my efforts in this life making any lasting difference for the future? Is something about to happen? Is my future secure? Or finally, is the world around me simply right when it pronounces, you know, there's nothing certain in this life but death and taxes? The early church must have also wondered, is something about to happen? Listen to the words of the gospel lesson from St. Mark. He writes, take heed, be on the alert. You don't know when the appointed time will come. You don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning. Now, surely these early believers were not immune to the loss of hope in the coming of the kingdom of God. Surely they weren't immune to the loss of hope in the care of God. When their uncertain future wore on, the days wore on, they were persecuted for their faith. The memories of the risen Jesus were quickly fading. He had not come back when he promised. They sang, come, Lord Jesus, come. But instead, the angry Roman soldiers came to take their lives. They sang, this old world is passing away. But instead, as is the case for us today, this old evil world just seems to get more evil as the days go on. You see, people cannot stand on their tiptoes forever. The early believers could join us today in confessing, Lord, we just don't have the strength to stand on tiptoes. We don't have the strength to know that our future is secure, to fix our hope firmly in you, because we are sinners. We are sinners whose faith falters. Our future is too slippery. Our hands are too weak to hold on to your promises. If that's your confession, then today St. Mark has a good word for you and for me. This good news of St. Mark comes in the shape of a cross. He tells us that the hope, the source of our hope and our strength, is not in our faith. The hope of our source and strength and hope is not in our ability to stand on our tiptoes. The source of our hope and strength is in an act of God, an act of God in history, an accomplished act, an accomplished fact. What we're speaking of is the death of our Lord Jesus upon the cross for the sins of the world and for his glorious resurrection. For don't you see that little Christ child whose advent we're awaiting at Christmas time? The whole purpose he was born was so that he could die for your sins and mine and the sins of the world. You see, my friends, something has happened. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus said, it may happen at evening, at late night, at cock crow, at dawn. And St. Mark uses these phrases of Jesus, these four phrases, evening, late night, cock crow, and dawn, to structure the rest of his gospel that he's written. In the text of the parable of Mark 13, Jesus says, the Lord may be coming at evening. And in the very next chapter of his gospel, Mark writes, and when it was evening, Jesus was at table with his disciples. And taking bread and wine in his hands, he tells them that this bread and wine is the same body and blood that he will shed the next day on the cross for the sins of the world. In the parable, we're told that the Lord may come late at night. And soon in the next chapter, Mark records, late that night, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to prepare for his appointment with the cross the next day. In the parable, Jesus told her, says, the Lord may come at the crowing of the cock crow, the rooster crowing. And in the next chapter, the very next chapter, Mark records the event of Peter denying Jesus three times before the rooster crows, as Jesus' date with the cross gets ever nearer and nearer. In the parable, Mark says, the Lord may come back at dawn. And Mark writes soon, as soon as it was dawn, Jesus was bound by the Roman soldiers and led to the cross. What has St. Mark heard in Jesus' parable of the soon coming Lord? He has heard and proclaims to us. And here's the central part of our sermon. Here's the central idea. Everything uncertain in our future is anchored in the rock-solid certainty of the cross of our Savior. This cross tells us what is our true and lasting hope. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen for the sins of the world. Did you know that the cross is really what Christmas is all about? If you were to drive by our home, just put it up yesterday, today is the first day of Advent, in our big picture window that faces the road, every day, every year at this time, we put up a big cross, lit with Christmas lights, with the phrase, Merry Christmas, written right over the cross. As a witness to our neighbors, Christmas is about the one who was born in the manger, yes, to be our Savior upon the cross. The cross tells us where is our true and lasting hope. You know, and in the hymns that we sing as a Christian church, the cross comes again and again. Listen to some verses from a couple of hymns. From Lutheran Service Book 427, In the Cross of Christ Thy Glory. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. From 761, Rock of Ages, one of my favorites. Verse 3 says, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And back to 427, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. In the face of anything that this sinful and dying world throws our way, there is the cross. In the face of marching, angry, bloodthirsty Roman soldiers, my only true and lasting hope is this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of an evil world getting worse by the day, my only true and lasting hope is this: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of broken engagements, empty cribs, family heartaches, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of ends that never seem to meet, in the face of work that never seems to get done, in the face of health that does not seem to be improving, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. In the face of my own standing before a holy and almighty God on the day of judgment with all of my sin, here is my sure hope: Jesus Christ crucified and risen for me. And if you look carefully, in the beautiful face of Jesus who hung upon that cross, in His beautiful face, we see an absolute assurance of Almighty God's undying love and faithfulness to me. In the beautiful face of Jesus, I read that promise from Jeremiah 29:11, which has soon become the theme of our family and hopefully the theme of yours, where the Scripture says, God speaking, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, plans to give you a future and a hope. Something is about to happen. Every moment of the day is alive with the promise of God's future and Jesus' return. Every tick, tick, tick of the clock brings us closer to God's new day, to kingdom come, to the return of the Lord in the church. Like nowhere else in our world, we realize that something is about to happen. Listen again to St. Mark. He says, "What I say to you, I say to all. Be on the alert." My friends, every time we recite the words of the Apostles' Creed, He will come to judge the living and the dead. God assures us that this frail and incomplete and sinful human justice we have in this world is not all the justice that life has for us. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time a baby is baptized, God reminds us of His fatherly love and mercy that seeks us out, that sustains our faith until kingdom comes. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time at this altar we hear the words of our Lord, "Take and eat, take and drink, my body, my blood shed for you," God gives us a foretaste of that heavenly feast to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Every time Christian people speak to each other a word of forgiveness in Jesus' name, in a situation of hurt or bitterness, we are speaking in a future tense, a language one day all creation will learn. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Do you know what the last verses of the Bible are? Do you know how the entirety of the Holy Scripture ends, a document that spans thousands of years? Do you know what the final words are in the final book of the Bible we call the book of St. John's Revelation? Well, just before he says, "Amen," his final words and the final words of the Bible are a prayer. They are a prayer. They are a hope. They are what this entire sermon has all been about. Revelation 22:20 says, the last words of the Scripture before Amen, it says this: "Come, Lord Jesus." In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have seen something has happened. As He continues to come to us in the proclamation of His Word and the sharing of His sacraments, we see something is happening. But on the horizon, in our future, on a day we await on tiptoes, something else is about to happen. He will return, and with Him, He will bring the end of this sinful world and the life of an eternity with Him in heaven. And so we pray that last prayer of the Bible. We pray together, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Maybe tomorrow. Maybe today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offerings.